Hi, this is Russ, and we're getting ready to go into the course that's called The Black Awakening. Now listen, many of you who are getting this over the internet, this is brand new, and it's a new way for us as far as getting it out to everybody, and it's a sense of urgency right now for us to get all the materials out. Now the course is what we've been teaching and working on for many years, and back in the early 90s, we did a seminar on it, and we taught again and again. We've also done a seminar conference in the early 2000, I think, in one, where in this course you will get a just a brief MP3 that you can turn into a CD concerning that conference we did. It just kind of gives you a historical picture of how we did that live some time ago. And I know that we're going to be going over, traveling the country and sharing the information on the Black Awakening in many places. Well, this, what you have got now, is the course over the internet. We are redoing the entire course. And as a matter of fact, we originally said there would be about 10 MP3s plus an outline and notes for this course. Actually, what it's going to be is probably about 20 of those. So you'll get a lot more than you first considered. So I just want to, first of all, welcome you to the organization Shatter the Darkness and to the website www.shatterthedarkness.net. My name is Russ Dizdar, and we've been working in this field all together probably over 30 years, directly with the organization Shatter, probably some 24 years or so. And I want to encourage you right now that all the things you're going to hear, both in biblical prophecy and in current things, and just in the outline of information we're giving you in the teaching, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the victor. He's the hope of the world. He is the living Christ. He has come to save every single soul, every life. God is not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come. God truly wills the salvation of all men, that they might come to salvation and come to the truth. That is our heart's desire behind this. Because we know that the hour is late. We know that the satanic agenda is erupting all over the world. We know that there's going to be so many things going on that it's very important for you and I as believers in Christ that we are prepared for the days that we're living in, and that God has given us the preparation. And Jesus said that He would build a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So very important for you and I to know that God has given us this indestructible Spirit of God dwelling in your life and mine, the indestructible Word of God. We are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is indestructible and will at one point in history be caught up to meet the coming Christ and be glorified, and the mortal shall put on immortality. And that event is going to be the most astounding event that the angels of God shall see, the demons in hell shall know, and the whole world shall realize then. That's why the Word of God predicts that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, Jesu Christu, Yahweh, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, that He is Lord and truly Lord. God has a heart for the world. We see it at the cross. He has a heart for your life. May God breathe into you His strength, His wisdom, His knowledge, His preparation. And may you appropriate and by faith receive all of God's grace, all of God's promise, and may you by obedience manifest the great grace of God. We're dealing with session one, which is really just going over the title, The Black Awakening. On the title that you have, the subtitle, Ritual Blood and Chaos and the Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. The contents, if you look over that, you're going to see again about 20 MP3s, 21, that you'll be able to download a CD and use and go over again and again. Let me encourage you right now that as you begin to get these lessons, however providentially, we're praying that God will guide and direct providentially this material to a lot of individuals who will take it up, who will use it. And let me invite you right now that if you have other information, if you have more content, if you know other things, if you want to be someone who's watching for the coming event of the Black Awakening and preparing and reaching out to the world and giving warning and being a watchman on the wall and a witness for Christ, then we want to invite you to write, to interact with us constantly, and to be joint partners in sharing Christ in the last hour. On the contents page, you'll already notice that you get an extra seminar on the Black Awakening that we've done in the past. You might have already listened to that. This is just simply session one, the introduction. And we're giving you an overview of everything. And as I welcome believers, as I welcome Christians, as I welcome even those maybe in law enforcement, I know I will also be speaking to Luciferians, to chosen ones, to some of the satanic super soldiers. I know right now that some of the handlers and others who monitor, who seek reconnaissance of the end-time ministries and spiritual warfare ministries and all the different kinds of work that is considered in your view, enemies to your project, obviously enemies to the Luciferic doctrine and to the satanic agenda and to the demonic presence. May I invite you to read and study all that you can, listen to all that we're doing, because I have prayed that God would bring this lesson and materials to hidden Luciferians, and especially to chosen ones, your victims of the satanic agenda, the living Christ who died on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead. He blasted apart the finality of death. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He delivered the demonized. He's able to put back any human being who has been torn to pieces. And I want you to know that up front, even as you're listening, even as personalities and sub-personalities are listening, even as this is being shared in rogue military and being shared maybe in a coven circle, I want you to know right now that my heart is committed, number one, that you get to hear the message that can bring you the redemption, can bring you a love and a power and a supernatural grace you have never, never yet experienced. And God is reaching out, the personal, infinite, immeasurable, living God, who is the most relational being, as we see. That's why they've kept you, again, from the Word of God. That's why they've kept you from really hearing truth. That's why they've done everything they can to belief inoculate you into not even looking this direction. But may God visit you. May God visit you with His Word, by His Spirit, through dream, through encounter. There's a man named Saul of Tarsus in the Bible, and he was dead against the body of Christ and Christians in Christ. And in his madness, as he was persecuting the church and sending out murderous threats, you can read about it in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and 8. And yet God had mercy, and God invaded his life. You can read about it in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And you can see how God invaded his life. And there was a engagement with the living Christ. And may God give you that. And I would encourage all students and all those who are taking the course, all those who are just getting it for information, you're kind of going to be listening to the CDs and looking at the notes. Read it all and listen to it all with discernment, with the Word of God at hand, with your eyes lit by the Spirit of God, that you can perceive and see and know. I would encourage you to be praying for the many millions of victims that Satan has been creating and drawing in to create the troops of the coming Antichristu, the man of sin, the little horn, the beast. Let me encourage you right now as we go through the overview, and you're going to see that on page one. The introduction and overview, just four simple things there. Actually, five simple things that I want to go over. I added something to it. Number one, a biblical revelation of the satanic agenda. There are 300 prophecies, types, and shadows in the Old Testament that foretold the coming of Christ 700 years prior. We've said this many times. In Isaiah the prophet, God spoke, a virgin shall be with child. God spoke that the Prince of Peace would come, and that Emmanuel, God in human flesh, would visit the earth. Now we see that throughout Isaiah. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. We read about in Jeremiah that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. We read about the forerunner, John the Baptist, who would come prior to the Messiah, who would prepare the way of the Lord. That's prophesied in the Old Testament. Even Judas and his selling Christ out for 30 pieces of silver, gold rather, is prophesied in the Old Testament. 1,000 years before Jesus came, there is a prophecy concerning in chapter 16 of Psalms that the body of Jesus would not see decay, that he wouldn't be left in the grave. The resurrection is prophesied. So whether you go to Samuel, Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you can go through the Psalms and you're going to see again, study the great prophecies. When the Spirit of God speaks about future events, not only have they all, the ones in the Old Testament anyway, been fulfilled in Christ, you can study the book of Matthew, which is really a depiction of Jesus Christ the King, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You'll read again and again and again in the book of Matthew where it says, and it was written, and it has been fulfilled, and it has been fulfilled, and it has been fulfilled, again and again and again. You see the demonstration, especially to those who are Israelis or Jewish by blood, there is this tremendous betrayal and this tremendous revelation of Jesus as the fulfiller of Old Testament prophecy. So I want to encourage you to know that. I want you to also be encouraged to know that the New Testament, one-third of it is prophecy. The book of Revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, is primarily futuristic in the sense that from chapter 4 on, we're reading about things that have not yet occurred. The Black Awakening has not yet occurred. The Great Revolt, the Great Rebellion has not yet occurred. The apocalypse of Antichrist obviously has not yet occurred. The attempt for the annihilation of the body of Christ in the mid part of the tribulation, the attack on Israel, the attempt for annihilation. We've not seen any of these yet, but they're coming. They're right around the corner. So there's a sequence to the events, and the Lord Jesus, one of the primary things that we see in the New Testament prophecy is God giving us glimpses of what the satanic agenda, what he is going to be doing, about false prophets and false prophecies and false apostles and false teachers, about counterfeit or pseudo signs, wonders, and miracles, about everything that would be done to bring out a alternative spirituality, to divert individuals from hearing the true message of Jesus. So we have cults, we have many different streams through the occult, we have Satanism, and you can add in Santeria, Palo Mayombe, you can add in the Theosophical Society, the Odu Templi Orientis, you can add in the Masons, you can add in Wiccans, and you can add in Satanists and all their different varieties, you can add in the concept of Illuminati, and the number one unified teaching of all of it, simply of all of the New Age movement, the largest cultic movement in the history of Christendom, larger than the Gnostic movement of the early church, but very similar, The teaching is the idea of spiritual evolution, and that we will be able to, through these alternative spiritual streams, to reach higher levels, or even reach Christhood or divinity or deification. And this is what's true of all these streams. What's true of them also is they present a different Jesus other than the Jesus that Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so forth, other than the apostles, the angels of God, the New Testament, the Word of God has proclaimed. They teach a different Jesus. There's a massive reduction concerning the Jesus they refer to. He is not the Jesus of the Word of God. He's not the Jesus that the elect angels sing about and minister on behalf of. He's not. And that's true of all those occultic streams. And one of the goals would be in all of this is to really properly understand that the lie that began in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan challenged God and the Word of God and invaded humanity with doubt and with lies, the offer that he gave was that we would be able to become like God, that we would be able to be elevated, and that we were in a lower state of being, and that God didn't want us to reach these mystical spiritual plateaus. Of course, just as Satan himself fell in his attempt to go higher, because you can't go higher than what God has already made. You cannot stretch higher than what God has given in all of that what we've been created to be. Now, in Christ, in being born of the Spirit of God, there is a growing and a developing and a bearing of the image of Jesus, the image of God. There is a justification at the moment of salvation, a sanctification as we're growing in Christ, and then there shall be a glorification, an instantaneous, the mortal shall put on immortality. And that's the end goal of salvation, my friends. That's the end goal of what God is doing. And so when you want to refer to an evolution or a new state, a spiritual being that the Arians try to present, or those who are seeking the Aryan master race, the Hyperboreans, the Atlanteans, and all the stuff concerning UFOs and the Greys and the Pleiadians and all the things that are being presented, all the way back to the early church with the Nicolaitans, the Gnostics, and others, all the way to this very day, no finite being has ever become infinite. Satan lied, and humanity spiritually died and physically died and are in danger of dying eternally in eternal separation from God. So biblical revelation is absolutely vital as we look into all these streams. There's a lot of conspiracy out there. There's a lot of things out there on the web that we can look at. There are so many things. Our goal in Shatter has always been to try to verify things, to look at the Word of God, like on the day of Pentecost. Matter of fact, if you go to the book of Acts at some point, take a look at that, because it shows us the way biblical prophecy is fulfilled and the way the Spirit of God brings confirmation. On the day of Pentecost, we see the Spirit of God comes in great power. Tongues of fire on their head, the sound of rushing winds, the prophesied unleashing of the gift of languages to be a sign to the nation of Israel at that time. And the presence, the pouring out of the Spirit of the Lord as prophesied by Joel the prophet hundreds of years prior. On that day, in the fulfillment of that, now listen, this is the neat thing. God not only spoke it in the Old Testament prior to Jesus arriving in human flesh. Jesus spoke about that day and promised that power from on high would come, that they should be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes on them. And when that actually occurred, when the event actually occurred there on the day of Pentecost, Peter was able to stand up and he was able to say to the thousands and thousands that were in the crowd, "This is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. This is that which the prophet Joel spoke about." And I think it's very important that as we're looking at the events around us, that we are able to look at clear biblical insight and prophetic insight and be able to say, this is that. Israel's being drawn back to the land. That the biblical prophecy as a whole shows us that there is a centering of all these events all around a little tiny Israel. We're told about the European Union, the idea of all the nations that are gathering together that will be used by the Antichrist. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is a tremendous it's an overview of the sequence before the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of things will occur before the Lord Jesus Christ descends, catches up the church to meet him in the air. Before that parousia of the Lord Jesus, there is the parousia, the coming, the arrival, which involves the catching up, the glorification of believers in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's when the Lord Jesus returns. And as he descends, he calls up the body of Christ. We have a glimpse of that picture in not only the book of 1 Thessalonians, but also in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We also, though, are told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is very vital, that day will not occur until two major events occur. There are absolutely two major events. Now, I'm going to go over very carefully and in the Greek construction later on in some of these MP3s and CDs, the exact terminology and so forth. But just a looking over of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 will tell you that concerning the parousia and our being gathered to the Lord Jesus, let no one deceive you. Let no one unsettle you. No false doctrines, no false prophecies, and nothing is to alter the written grapha, the Word of God, infallible, inerrant, unalterable. And we're not to be swayed to the left or right. We're to stand on the firm foundation of the Word of God, because it's not going to change. Two events will occur before the parousia of Christ. And one of those is the Great Rebellion or the Great Revolt, and the second is the apocalypse of the man of lawlessness. One precedes the other, and this is very important. Prior to that Great Rebellion and prior to that apocalypse, you'll continue to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the man of lawlessness will come in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. May I tell you that Satan needs to dirty the air and spiritually bring massive diversion and seduction and deception prior to even the eruption of Black Awakening or Rebellion or Revolt, because when this massive chaos is unleashed from that rubble, from those flames, from that destruction, from that chaos, is to rise a new world order led by the world's view, a super savior. In the biblical view, the beast, the Antichrist, Antichristu. He is the man of lawlessness, antinomianism. Means that he has everything about him is opposed to the living God, to the presence of God, to the kingdom of God, the people of God, the Word of God, the body of Christ, and that person may be, he's going to be a counterfeit incarnation, a counterfeit Christ. He's going to do counterfeit miracles, or going to have those done around him, a counterfeit death and resurrection. Reading about that in the book of Revelation. So it's very important for us to realize, though, that it's not going to come out of a vacuum. That if he rises, even at the age of 30, if he rises, that means that he's been here for 30 years. The Antichrist will have a physical birth mother that's probably connected to the bloodline all the way back to the Nephilim, which I'll discuss later on. Just as Jesus' bloodline goes all the way back to Adam, that's why we have the genealogy to reveal to us a pure bloodline of Christ, unmixed from the genetic mutation of Nephilim blood and the demonized blood and so forth. But we'll talk about that later. What I want to just share right now under A is simply biblical revelation. God has given us pictures. God is always running circles around Satan's agenda. I love to say it this way, that the lamb runs circles around the dragon. He is always running circles around the dragon, and we're going to see that again and again and again. Under B, strategic glimpses. Now, when I say strategic glimpses, that's what I believe 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is about. Prior to the parousia, two great events, a great massive chaotic revolt, and then on the back of that is the apocalypse, the appearing of the man of sin, of lawlessness. We have strategic glimpses concerning false Christs, false prophecy, false teachers. We're told in the last days that it shall be terrible times. And so we're given strategic glimpses so that we know, and that we could be able to say, this is that which the Word of God talked about. This is that which 1 Timothy chapter 4 refers to when it talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and coming through hypocritical liars, vessels like Helena and Alice Bailey and David Spangler and Albert Pike. And you can go on down the list with Rudolf Steiner and Himmler and on and on with Aleister Crowley and all the rest of the cult writers that were led by, they call it, ascended masters. Of course, we understand from biblical revelation they are the fallen angelic race. They're in the category of Ephesians 6, principalities and powers and the dark spiritual wicked forces in the heavenlies. So God's going to give us strategic glimpses, so strategic that we will be able to say, this is that which the Word of God speaks about. These glimpses are pictures of the satanic agenda. So if you see in the United States 60 million New Agers and the largest cultic movement and occult movement in the history of Christendom, if you see that there are 100,000 covens, if you see false apostles, false antichrists in the plural before the arrival of the Antichrist, then you please, you need to understand that that you're seeing the fulfillment of what God, the Spirit of God has given, what the Lord Jesus has spoken some 2,000 years ago. And you and I are living in the days where we're seeing fulfillment unravel before our very eyes in the grip of militaries, in the grip of nations, and what's happening all around us, even on a street level, the highest degree of demonic manifestation. Well, under C, let me say this. It's in the air. The spiritual temperatures in 9/11. Listen, when everybody saw 9/11, we saw the towers coming down, we saw the people running, and so many people wondered. You know, obviously, in New Orleans, when the hurricane struck, or the tsunami in Asia, South Asia, and when these events are occurring and wiping out people and things are occurring where we see evil and we see mayhem and we see the destruction of lives, please understand that obviously it's in the air. Look at the movies that are being pumped out in the last 20 years, the last 10 years, and even the last 5 years. You're even going to have movies based on the Manchurian Candidate, based on mind control, based on the governmental side. Obviously, it only gives a 2% glimpse into the full reality. The concept of super soldiers is everywhere. The realization that there is violence and terrorism and a nation rising against nation and bloodshed and horrific evil and the satanic ritual abuse of millions of individuals. So whether, you know, when you read, when you listen to things like, for example, Art Bell and George Norrie, Coast to Coast, you can read and you know, their materials, and you can listen to all of those people they bring on. And you're going to see that even in the world of psychics and Wiccans and occultism and the mysticism, there is this belief that there is chaos in the air, that something is about ready to break out in the world, that we're on the glimpse of catastrophe, that there's a great collapse coming, and people are wanting to know how to survive and to come through it. There's great fears of major war and nuclear war and the destruction of nations and so forth. Jesus talked about it in the book of Matthew. And we've been told prior to the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a nation rising against nation, rumors of wars and so forth. All of this, we're dealing with birth pangs, my friends. We're dealing with that, birth pangs. We're seeing the rumblings around the globe. This is global now, not local. This is global. And the rumblings are here, the birth pangs are here, the dirtying of the air, the spiritual deception, seduction, sabotage, the setting up for the day of the Black Awakening, the Great Revolt, that will bring great collapse, that will usher in a critical mass and a crying out for someone to save the world. And obviously, then the Antichrist will rise. So when you look at when you listen to radio programs, when you read materials, and you see the conspiracy sites, I'm fascinated. Even on the Art Bell and George Norrie Coast to Coast show, that it could be anywhere from 14 to 18 million listeners. So many people do want answers. So many people want to know. And I find that in my discussions and in evangelism and in sharing with New Agers, with Luciferians, with visiting the Ordo Templi Orientis Black Sun Camp, in visiting the Theosophical Society, in visiting little secret groups and engaging conversations, there is clearly a belief that the end is near, and that things are changing. In the New Age movement alone, there's this great and massive teaching concerning an evolution, a critical emergence of a spiritual evolution that is going to eventually cause the world to shift and to change. People are digging up ancient occultic prophecies, the Mayans, 2012. It'll be interesting to see what really does happen at 2012. People are just delving into Nostradamus. They're listening to people that are operating under spirits and spirit guides, but not the spirit of the living God. And there's quite a difference in the two. So it's in the air all around us. And what this tells me is that it's a tremendous time to unleash the hope of the world. It's a tremendous time to do what the angels did at the birth of Christ, singing out and proclaiming good news of great joy, which is for all the people, that God still has a tremendous door that's open wide to the world. As a matter of fact, no matter what else occurs on the face of the earth, let me tell you a prophecy out of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. When you study the Gospel of Mark concerning end time events, you're going to find where Jesus is saying that that he will not return until the gospel reaches the entire world, till the gospel is preached to the entire world. Now, it's very clear that it means every people group, every tongue, every nation, every language, etc. Now, let's play it forward for a moment. If you go to the book of Revelation, and you go to chapter 7 or chapter 12, and you begin to look at specifically this massive martyrdom that occurs. Matter of fact, John sees this great crowd of people in heaven. All these martyrs appear, a massive, massive number, in the millions probably, maybe a billion, I don't know. But he says, who are these? And the elders, you know, ask the question, who are these? And John doesn't know, and he wants to know. And so he's told, these are those who have come out of the Hathalipsis Hamagodli, the great, the tribulation. In the mid part of the tribulation, there's an attempt to annihilate all believers everywhere. It's global. And what happens is, number one, there's not, you know, the Antichrist never gets to annihilate. There'll be a great persecution, but he doesn't annihilate the believers worldwide, obviously. But what this tells you is that the people there represent people from every tribe, every language, every people group, everywhere in the world. You know what that tells you? You know what that futuristic prophecy tells you? Is that the gospel did get to every tribe, every language, every people group, and that God is saving people from every kind of person worldwide. That's why there's well over 1,500 translations of Scripture in Russian, Chinese, Swahili, Punjabi, and Cantonese, and Mandarin Chinese, and all around the people groups in South Africa and South America and Lower Asia, the Eskimos, and everywhere else. The gospel is being preached. The sovereign God is reaching out, not willing that anybody perish, but that all. And so we see that God is victorious, and that Jesus said the church would never be annihilated, that it would be indefeatable, though at times we see corruption and we see all kinds of issues and problems. But the church will never be defeated. So Christian, take heart. Be literally just strong in the Lord and His mighty power, knowing that He created and initiated the church. He baptizes by the Spirit of God new believers into the body of Christ. That it is a spiritual collection in Christ of all believers worldwide. I've got brothers and sisters everywhere. So do you. So it's very important that we understand what God is doing worldwide right now, and what's happening right now. Now, let me mention one more thing on this introduction. This is very, very important. The question is, where do they all come from? Whether it's the MPD, SRA, DID, when I'm talking about chosen ones, and you've obviously, if you're taking the course and you've got the materials, you know that we have delved into this area. We've talked a lot about it, and we've mentioned satanic super soldiers. They call themselves chosen ones. We're going to go into this in great detail, but let me just say here, as you're contemplating, as you're thinking through, as you're connecting dots, as you're looking around, as the Spirit of God is speaking to you and teaching you and leading you and guiding you in these studies, let me say this. My big question when I realized that there are over 4 million diagnosed cases of multiple personality disorder, that in reality, when you look at the statistics, half of all the individuals we dealt with have never shown up to a psych ward. It's been estimated not only by myself back in the early 90s, but others, that there may be up to 10 million who have multiple personality disorder, and that the overwhelming majority, 90% or more, also have satanic ritual abuse. They're in Canada, they're in Australia, they're in the UK, they're throughout Europe. But in America alone, there may be up to 10 million. 10 million. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Whether you think in terms of cult systems that help create them, whether you think in terms of the military, Monarch projects, MK Ultra, Project Tapestry, Project Centauri, Project Orion, the Phoenix projects, and all the sub projects. When you begin to take a look at this, we're going to see the roots of this goes back to the occultism among the Nazis and their desire of a blood-lined Aryan master race that would be used as super soldiers on the face of the earth to extend a occult Reich, a well, as you look at the Nazis, and as you look at at the history of Hitler and everything that's behind a demonic ideology that fueled the political agenda and the whole purpose then was to amass a massive military behind the entire inspiration, organization, the ascent of the entire Nazi regime was ascended masters, demonic presence that trickled down into the bottom line, an agenda, a demonized occultic ideology that would attack the Jews and seek their annihilation. There's a reason for that Luciferian doctrine: attack the Jews and annihilate Israel. There's a reason for it with the president of Iran right now, and the coming Mahdi, and the real belief system of and the prophetic insight of Islam. There's a reason for that ideology. Allah, a territorial demonic being, I believe is the same entity that Daniel had to deal with, the Prince of Persia. And that being has drawn people into an occultic system and has inspired them with a massive, massive hatred. Because you know what? Again, Satan knows prophecy before it occurs. Jesus will descend there in Israel, in the descent of the return of the visible Christ in victory. There is a descent. There is a millennium, a 1,000-year reign of Christ that will go global, that the lamb shall lay down with the lion, that they will beat their swords into plowshares, that peace will be just absolutely consume the earth. There will not be a war. The nations, there will be a healing of nations when Jesus returns. The occultists talk about the age of Aquarius. Again, that's the counterfeit fantasy in comparison to the real biblical prophecy of what's going to happen, and Satan has to do everything he can to stop that. That's why there's a counterfeit Christ and a counterfeit millennium and a counterfeit master race. Satan does not want that to occur. So you're going to find the satanic agenda plays itself out in political ideology, military ideology, in multi-national unions. And you're going to see this occur again and again. And behind all of it, Antichrist, Satan must have troops. And I believe with all of my heart that he has been creating these troops. Even after the Nazis were defeated, their whole ideology, their whole agenda and mission spread worldwide and infiltrated U.S. military, the OSS, CIA, all the rest of that, and began a project here in the creation of super soldiers. Regardless of what military men thought they were doing, Satan had an agenda that far exceeded for them. Satan used them like he used Judas. Judas was not a believer. Judas had no spiritual perception. Judas had no idea that Satan could enter him and use him to betray Christ. This is what has occurred in U.S. military, the rogue side. This is what has occurred in Britain's and Europe's and Germany's militaries and so forth on the rogue side. Wherever this ideology, this demonic ideology has crept in, the passion to create a army has been in the satanic agenda and revealed in scripture that Satan will come during the night to create terrors, the transmutation of human lives, to build a people that will do his bidding. Chosen ones, called multiples, millions of them that are intact, that are sleepers in every city in the United States. You say, well, I can't really believe that. Let me ask you something. Do you realize there's 50,000 Masonic temples? 50,000 Mason, Masonic temples throughout the United States in every city, and almost in every little town that you go through, towns that have 30,000 people will have a Masonic temple, a place for the Masons. Now, if a high-ordered Illuminati, Luciferic organization can have billions of dollars and actually set up temples worldwide, and especially throughout the United States, we see that. It's so big, it's so broad, it's so vast. And Albert Pike was a Luciferian. He writes concerning Lucifer being the light bearer, and he writes concerning the chaos to come before the new age of enlightened Luciferic spiritual, you know, teaching and the arrival of Lucifer himself. All of that is behind the development of those 50,000 temples and all the literature and all of the secret recruiting and secret rituals and all of the rest that's behind it. Many of the chosen ones have been to those places. Many of those who are satanically ritually abused, who have multiple personality disorder, subpersonalities, this is an ancient demon-taught technology for the transmutation of human personality, the subjugating the human will, attempting to create a super being, and I'll even suggest the attempt to recreate Nephilim for the purpose of the satanic agenda, for the purpose of, in the Black Awakening, to assassinate, to kill, to bomb, to create massive anarchy, to collapse the system and make way for the Antichrist. Well, I'm just going over the overview right now and just sharing some of the information. Where did they all come from, my friends? Where did they all come from? Let me mention in E, the last point here on this page. If you go back to Psalm chapter 2, you're going to see a prophecy concerning that is 3,000 years old. Why do the nations rage and conspire together? What are they conspiring to do? This is where real, a biblical revelation tells us about real conspiracy. Real conspiracy. There is a real conspiracy. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about it being a secret power of lawlessness, a highly supernatural, demonically empowered secrecy that's operating right now in the world around us, that has been operating, moving forward century by century to get to the ultimate end goal. Now, the ultimate end goal is Satan leading an army of humans dedicated in fighting the descent of the living Christ. And we'll talk about backing that up and coming back to the Black Awakening. The conspiracy deals with the ultimate end that Satan wants, drawing the nations together, not just one like in Germany, but the nations as a whole, under one leader, an Antichrist, that will be able to not only want to rule the world, but to the whole reason he is doing this is to gather enough firepower in his belief system to literally stop the descent, arrival of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 tells us about the descent of the living Christ, the coming of the living Christ. But in Revelation 19:19, the beast and the armies of the earth, under a tremendous supernatural empowerment demonically, and under probably the most highly advanced military weapons in human history, they gather together to battle the rider on the white horse. And if you can understand Revelation 19:19 and begin to back up from there, you will understand Satan's end goal. It's not just to inhabit one individual and take one to hell. That's part of the process. It is about using humanity as he used one-third of the angels in rebellion against God. One-third of the angels and Satan himself could not scratch the surface of the throne of God. but he will attempt it again. One prophecy writer years ago wrote a book called Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. Well, he's alive, and he's doing his agenda. He's doomed, and so is the man of lawlessness, doomed to destruction. And so when you study and you contemplate these themes that we're getting into, number one, have an indefeatable and faith and hope in the Lord Jesus, that he's the answer and that great things can still occur until the very end. Number two, the church is indestructible. And no matter what Satan does, he will not destroy it. And your life in Christ is also indestructible as you stand in faith in the Lord Jesus. Three, just continue to ask the Spirit of God to show you, to guide you, to direct you, to open you up to all of Scripture and help you. And then number four, prayerfully as you study and read and look at things, engage things, surrender to be a tremendous witness for Jesus Christ. The great power of God, the great signs and wonders, the great revival working power, Pentecost's power, literally is in those who've taken up the cross and who've decided to fulfill the Great Commission. And God is behind that. God is laboring in behalf of the body of Christ to fulfill that. Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I'll be with you always to the very end. And that is in the context of the Great Commission which you and I have been given. Well, dear friend, the Lord bless you and strengthen you. And we encourage you to move on to the next sessions.